When Christy awoke, a shadowy figure was kneeling over her, doing something to her shirt.
No!
Half-dressed, Christy threw herself at the attacker, yanking a huge blaster from his belt. The thing was colossal, some sort of double-barrel hand blaster that was damn near identical to the one carried by...
Gaia, is that you, Doc?
Looking hurriedly around, Christy saw that she was on a stony ridge set along the base of a towering mesa, the top of the column lost in the clouds above. Huge boulders and clumps of sagebrush dotted the landscape, giving good cover. There was just the two of them in sight, nobody else nearby. Christy tossed her friend the blaster.
Why the hell were you dressing me? Where's Mildred? What happened?
Doc slowly stood.
Our noteworthy physician is off tendering professional care to Lily.
Christy buttoned her shirt closed.
Who?
Rubbing his stomach, Doc briefly told her what had happened. Finishing with the buttons, Christy noted the shortness of the sleeves.
This isn't mine.
No, dear lady. Yours is gone, so Mildred donated a spare. She said it might be a little tight across the shoulders. I hope it's not too uncomfortable.
It'll do. How long was I out?
How long?
Doc glanced at the stormy sky. A few stars peeked out from behind the ever-flowing bank of toxchems as they moved over the mesa and out of sight.
About 2 hours, perhaps less.
I see.
Walking over to Doc, Christy wrapped her arms around the old man and hugged him so hard that he thought his ribs would break. Then she planted a gentle kiss on his cheek and gazed in his young but so very old eyes.
Thank you. And sorry about your stomach.
Apology accepted. A gentleman does what he can, dear lady. Anyway, your weapons are over here by my bike.
Sitting on a rock, Christy began to pull on her boots.
Your bike?
He flashed his perfect teeth.
Well, it is mine now. Finders keepers, as they say.
Standing, she stomped the boots into place.
You'll get no arguments from me. Lead the way.
Going behind some scrub brush, Doc removed a few tumbleweeds to expose the sleek black two-wheeler. He patted the metal frame.
Mildred believes the machines are solar-powered, which means that we are stuck here until daylight. The power reserves were low when we appropriated the machines, and by now they are totally exhausted.
Which explained why they were hidden in the bushes, Christy thought.
So we're stuck here for the time being.
Indeed, yes.
Fair enough.
Christy picked up her gun belt and strapped it on tight. There was no sign of the MP5, but her S&W 38 caliber Model 640 was in the holster, the loops full of extra brass.
Is there anything to eat?
Surprisingly, yes, there is.
Doc went to the rear cargo compartment of the bike and lifted the lid. Nestled inside were spare ammo clips for the combo rapid fires, a canvas bag full of grins, a few tools, a bandolier of 40mm rounds, and dozens of bulky MRE packs. Eagerly, Christy ripped one open and yanked out an envelope of beef stew, using her fingers to wolf it down, and licking the envelope clean afterward.
God, I needed that.
She crumbled the Mylar pack into a wad and tucked it into a pocket. The material reflected light better than a mirror, especially at night, and leaving it on the ground would be like marking their trail. Riffling through the rest of the MRE pack, she used a wet nap to clean her hands, and then popped a stick of gum into her mouth, chewing contentedly. Asking for a gift of strength from Gaia always left her exhausted and starving. She was still hungry, but experience had taught her the hard way that it was wise to eat in stages, or her stomach would rebel.
By the way, where's my bearskin coat?
The same location as my frock coat, with our esteemed physician and her patient.
Doc jerked a thumb.
About 100 yards that way, inside a small natural cave we found, before the power ran out and the bikes died.
A cave? Why didn't she stay here with us? There's safety in numbers.
True, dear lady, but Mildred needed to make a fire, and it would be infinitely less noticeable inside a cave.
Christy mulled that over. A fire. That could mean Mildred was doing surgery.
How bad was this Lily hurt?
Unknown at present.
Doc faced in that direction. Then he glanced down at a shirt sleeve marked with red.
But she was bleeding for quite a while.
Christy stood.
Come on, then. Maybe they could use our help.
But, madam, we really should stay apart. Mildred warned about a device called a lojack, and somebody should stand guard in case those Rogan brothers return.
Lily took lead helping us escape?
Christy went to the bike and lifted the canvas bag of Gren's.
I'm sure as hell not going to sit here warming a rock doing nothing.
Removing a Gren, she pulled the arming pin and then tucked the explosive charge behind the rear wheel of the bike where the shadows were thick, wedging the spoon securely so it wouldn't detonate easily. Then she took some loose sand and sprinkled it on top of the explosive charge. Good enough. Anybody moving the wag would be blown to hell and give warning that the Rogans had arrived.
Besides, my mother taught me a lot about fixing wounds. I'm going.
All for one and one for all. If you are determined to be D'Artagnan, then I shall be your Planchet.
Traveling along the base of the mesa, the two companions kept their backs to the rocky facade of the stony column, moving almost entirely by touch. The crescent moon was behind the mesa, and the reflected light from the fiery clouds above did little to relieve the gloom. Rocks and brush were everywhere, along with the occasional cactus. Christy tripped on some loose stones at one point, and Doc ripped his shirt on an outcropping. Grimacing at the pain, he said nothing and kept going. Awkwardly climbing down a ridge in the ground, the companions paused. Christy raised a clenched fist. Knowing what the hand gesture meant, Doc stopped and eased the massive Lama from its holster. He was low on ammo for the .44 Ruger, but the Civil War hand blaster was fully charged and ready once more for battle. The range was short, but the Lama could blow the head off a man at close quarters. Tensely, the two friends listened hard to the moaning wind.
To the left?
Ryan stepped out of the wall of the mesa and into the dim moonlight. The Steyr SSG-70 was slung across his back, the Sig Sauer in his hand. Mildred answered from within the rock face.
No, the right.
Hi, Charlie.
His blaster leading the way, Ryan spun at that. Charlie. The code was something the companions had developed over their long travels. If they met each other after being separated, a code was used to make sure all was well. Charlie meant it was clear. Ryan grinned, holstering his gun.
Hey yourself, Charlie. Triple glad to see you alive.
Same back at you, lover.
As the two went into a clinch, Doc politely slipped past them to give the couple a moment of privacy and walked around a large boulder that partially blocked the entrance to a small cave. The rest of the companions were inside, and relieved smiles were exchanged. Then Doc faltered at the sight of Lily. His frock coat was folded under her head as a makeshift pillow, Christie's bearskin coat draped over her like a blanket. Candles flickered all around the young woman, and a small alcohol lantern blazed brightly, perched on top of a nearby rock. Doc looked anxiously at the unconscious woman. In the heat of battle, the old man hadn't noticed how truly lovely she was. Her hair was as black as a raven's wing, her delicate features lined from hard work and a lack of sufficient food. 30 years old? 18? It was difficult to guess her age. Besides, a child became an adult in the Deathlands on the day he or she learned to fire a blaster.
How did you find us?
Easy. We've been ticks behind since we left the veil. Box leave a trail a blind man could follow.
Sitting on a rock, Doc didn't doubt the statement. The albino hunter boasted that he could follow a fish underwater, and he had witnessed the lad follow tracks across bare concrete.
But how did you know...
4 bikes go west, then go east with double loads. What else but folks escaping?
Of course. How obvious. Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
How is Lily?
As if in reply, the young woman tried to turn over, but Mildred forced her to lie back down. Lily's denim pants had been split to the crotch, exposing a bloody bandage near the big artery along the inner thigh. Her hair flexing wildly, Christy frowned at the sight. Jack had taught her that the inner thigh was a prime chill point for knife fighting. Stab a person there, and they were dead from blood loss in only a couple minutes. Mildred placed a sheet of cloth from her med kit on the sandy floor.
She's not good. I have to cauterize the wound, or we're gonna lose her.
One at a time, she placed an assortment of crude medical instruments. Long fingers found at an auto repair shop, surgical pliers from a veterinary clinic, pressure clips looted from an office supply store.
Looks like there's enough wood.
Ryan checked the small pile near the mouth of the cave. Several backpacks had been stacked to block the wind from the fire and to help hide the flickering light. The boulder would block most of it. The cave had been well chosen, but every little bit counted when cold hearts were out on a hunt. Jack gestured at another stack deeper within the cave.
Sure, got lots.
Good. Checking the stack, Ryan saw that a lot of it was greenwood, still alive and full of juicy sap.
No way a butane lighter is gonna start this going. Anybody got a flare?
JB lifted a hand to display a small pellet.
I have something even better.
Taken aback, Ryan raised an eyebrow at the sight of the pyro tab. JB had to have been hoarding this prize for months, maybe longer. Kneeling by the stack of wood, JB placed the tablet on a flat rock and crushed it with a single blow from the grip of his hand blaster. The smashed tablet glowed for a moment, and the armorer quickly stepped back. Soon, the glow turned to a sizzling flame that grew and enlarged until it was almost a yard high, the light nearly blinding in the stony passage. As the lambent rush faded, the pile of green wood was merrily burning away, including the larger branches set to help maintain airflow to the heart of the blaze. Rising from his rock, Doc began to lay thick sticks on the fire in a crisscross pattern, and Ryan pulled his panga to place the blade near the crackling flames. Removing the cap from her canteen, Mildred poured some water into a palm, then broke open a tiny cardboard envelope from an MRE pack and sprinkled a couple grains of salt into the fluid.
Here you go.
She dribbled the mixture onto the lips of the pale woman. The physician hated giving anything liquid to an unconscious person. Choking to death was always a very real possibility. But Lily had lost so much blood that emergency measures had to be taken.
I can't, what?
Lily licked the moisture from her lips. Mildred sprinkled some more, and after that was gone, she gave the woman a sip of plain water.
Why you do that?
Mildred put away the canteen.
Blood is very similar in composition to salt water. Lily has lost a lot of blood, but unfortunately, I don't have an IV of plasma or isotonic saline to give her, so this will have to do. Every little bit helps. Besides, it's all I have.
Salt water?
We come from the sea. Evolution. I told you about that, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Thoughtfully stroking his chin, Doc glanced out the mouth of the cave toward the forbidding Mohawk mountain range. They were much larger than when seen from Broke Neckville. The mountain range had to be a lot closer, perhaps only 50 or 60 clicks away by now, less than a day's hard ride.
Anything like that in the local redoubt?
Doubt it highly. There was a full medical unit in Blaster Base 1, but before that, hell, I can't remember the last time I saw blood plasma in a redoubt.
Jack eased out into the chill desert night.
I stand guard.
Are there any antibiotics?
Everybody in the Deathlands could stitch a wound shut and knew how to cauterize a bad bleeder, but very few healers knew to wash the wound first or how to stitch it closed so that a limb would still work afterward. Wherever she went, Mildred tried to pass on some of her knowledge. But a lot of people refused to listen, the ancient taboo against any form of science still strong. Baron O'Connor of Tucsonville had been wise enough to welcome the physician and have her start to train every woman in the ville as a healer. An army of healers. What a grand thought. But then the news came of the strange killings, and the companions had had to leave long before the complex training had been finished. Hopefully, after this was over, they could go back. Mildred pulled a plastic bottle of clear bluish fluid from the medkit.
Lost all of the sulfur compounds and penicillin in the river last month. Only this is left.
Shine?
Christy took a look inside the bag. The contents of the old MASH field surgery kit were labeled in some sort of code that the physician had been working on for a long time. That way, if they were captured, Mildred could try to bargain their way free with the med supplies. But mixed among them were several doses of poison. Grim justice for any thief who jacked the irreplaceable med kit.
Close enough. Mouthwash, but the good antiseptic stuff. Best hold her down, John. This is going to hurt.
Gently, JB slipped a piece of soft leather between Lily's teeth, then placed his hands on her shoulders. Without any further preamble, Mildred poured the antiseptic mouthwash over the bloody bandage, letting it soak down deep into the cloth to reach the wound underneath. Pale and still, Lily gave no response as purplish fluids dripped onto the rocky ground.
God damn it! I was hoping for a scream of pain. I'm losing her. How is it coming?
Turning the handle over, Ryan inspected the orange-hot blade deep in the campfire.
Almost there. Better start stitching.
Placing aside the bottle, Mildred nimbly began threading a tiny veterinary needle designed for surgery on cats with the thinnest fishing line she owned. Removing the wad of bandages from the young woman's thigh, she worked with bare hands, stitching the nicked artery closed in record speed. When Mildred leaned back, the blood was no longer squirting out of the wound, but it did continue to fill the small depression. She prepared the needle line again.
Give her some more saline, John. Christy, move that lantern closer.
Christy did as requested, and JB dribbled more lightly salted water onto Lily's lips. He stopped until she settled down, then gave her a few drops of clean water. Mildred washed the wound clean with water, then the last of the antiseptic wash, then touched up the stitching as best she could. Ryan stepped forward. The end of the panga was glowing red hot, like the eye of a demon.
Ready.
Mildred reached for the handle of the knife.
Light!
Wordlessly, Doc pumped the handle on Mildred's survivalist flashlight, then flicked the switch. The bulb gave a weak yellow glow, brighter than a couple candles, but almost immediately it started to fade.
Bulb must be dying. Just need a moment to change it.
No time!
Mildred artfully applied the hot metal to the inside of the deep bullet wound. JB and Christy fought to keep her limb still and allow Mildred to do the cauterizing job properly. So many hours had been lost getting away from the Cold Hearts, it might already be too late to save her. There certainly was no time for a second attempt. This was it. Ignoring the stink of roasted flesh in her nostrils, Mildred emotionlessly flipped the blade over and touched the other small leak. There was another sizzle, but no response from Lily. She had fainted from the unbearable pain. Doc tucked away the flashlight. He felt useless, unable to do a thing to assist in the surgery.
Now what?
I'll sprinkle in some black powder for the sulfur, stitch the outside closed, and wrap it in clean bandages.
Mildred wiped her sweaty brow with the hand still holding the hot knife.
But we better stay here for the night. Another ride on a motorcycle would only open the wound again and kill her. This is a major artery. I was lucky to be able to fix it at all with the primitive tools I have.
Ryan took back the panga.
Then we can make camp. This is a good place to hide until dawn, and we could all use a little sleep.
Horses, too.
Damn straight.
Christy cast a look at the mouth of the cave.
And if the Cold Hearts show up?
Their name is Rogan. Lily muttered it before. John, Robert, Edward, and Alan Rogan. The four of them are brothers.
There are only three remaining, however.
Doc glanced again at the sleeping woman and felt his heart oddly quicken.
3, 4, 10. I don't fucking care. There'll be none of the bastards left after they meet us again.